This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It means they put that in front, they're headed towards that direction. And that's why, وَلَا آمِينَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرِضْوَانًا. آمِينَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ, those who have the intention, they're heading towards al-Masjid al-Haram. So when you say أَمَّا الشَّيْءِ أَمَّا يَأُمُّ, amma shay means you're going towards that direction, so you want something. So that's why also, it's, you know, in the Arabic language, there are certain words, that certain letters that are put together, even though it's not the same letters, they are similar in terms of the meaning, especially, for example, you say tayammum, tayammum. Yammama shay, the ya and the meem, usually it's also interchangeable in many words in the Arabic language, and even in the pronunciation, in the recitation and so forth, sometimes the ya becomes alif and so forth, and so, or the hamza. And so it, the same thing with tayammum, when you say yammama shay, that means your attention is the ground, the earth, for purification. So amma is also, some of the scholars have mentioned different meanings, like for example, you know, the word imam and amam, they're in the front. In the Arabic language, when you say us, something is amam, that means something that's in front of you. And so al-imama, some of the scholars of the Arabic language, they mention, of course, it's somebody whom you follow, and also somebody whom you put in front. So it actually has those two connotations. So when we say Babul Imam, sometimes when you hear al-imama in fiqh, there's two types of imama, right? Al-imamatu sughra wal-imamatu kubra. What's al-imamatu sughra? It's like the imam that leads the prayer. But when you mention al-imamatu kubra, the big imam, what is that? What is imam? We always speak about imam as a person leading the prayer, but there's the other imam is what? Anybody know when you say so? The khilafah. Very good, mashallah. May Allah increase your knowledge. So this is the khilafah. Al imamat al kubra is the imam, the person who leads the ummah. Leads the ummah. He's the khalifa. So al imamat al kubra is the khilafah. So sometimes you'll speak about rulings about al-imama. So what kind of imam? Well, no, we're not talking about the imam in the khilafah as a khalifa, but imam in that he is the person who leads the prayer. And also language, when you say somebody has reached a status that he's become al-imam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, in Surah Sajdah, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ, we have made amongst them imams يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, guided by us, لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient and they had certainty, they had faith and iman and contentment and certainty in their hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them to the status of imam. So sometimes when you speak about the imam, also, you might, it's a scholar that has reached a status where everybody knows him. Like almost anyone who prays five times a day knows him. So when you speak about al-imama, I mean the imam so-and-so, you can mention this imam, but it's a title also given to someone who is, when you say this is the imam of this particular branch of knowledge. And when somebody has reached to the point where he's knowledgeable, you know, and well-known in many aspects of the deen, then you call that person imam. For example, you say al-imam, al-imam Abu Hanifa. You say al-imam Malik, al-imam Shafi'i, al-imam Ahmed, al-imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And so you say al-imam. You don't say al-sheikh, right? Sheikh is either an old man or somebody who's very, very respected. But when you call somebody an imam, that means someone who has reached a status like everybody knows him, and anyone who knows the deen knows him. You say, for example, al-imam an-Nawawi, Like, you know, who knows the 40 hadith? Everybody knows the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nahawi, right? And anyone who prays five times a day knows Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Muslim. So these are the leaders in terms of their knowledge. Leaders, in, are they khulafa, khalifa? Well, they're not imam in terms of their the khulafa or the a khalifa themselves, but they have reached a status that they're at the forefront of the ummah in terms of their status, knowledge, respect. That, for example, anyone who, you know, who's practicing has knows Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmed, Imam Abu Hanifa. You don't say Al-Sheikh Al-Bukhari. It would be somebody else, right? It doesn't even sound right. You say what? You say Imam. So that's the other type. When you hear the word Imam, it's someone who has reached a status where almost, you know, anyone who is practicing as a Muslim, who studies and seeks knowledge, or, you know, just some of the basics of Islam, they have heard of Imam Al-Bukhari. Who hasn't heard of Imam Bukhari? Who hasn't heard of Imam Abu Hanifa? Who hasn't heard of Imam Shafi'i? Anyone who, you know, has listened to any lectures, just a couple of lectures, would know and would hear some of these names. And these are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised their status with. وَجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is speaking about the a'imma of Bani Israel in this respect. Those who have reached there amongst them, of Bani Israel, we made amongst them, not all of them, وَجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ a'imma يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. How did they reach this status? They become imam? They are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lamma sabaru, when they were patient. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ, and they were certain of our signs. Having this certainty of the signs, meaning having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing that Allah will reward you greatly. That person who has certainty is someone who has husnul dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is certain about the reward that they're getting. And so, like, for example, a person who knows that the reward of prayer is very great, they know, so they value it more, so they come even to pray in the masjid. Why? Because they are certain of the reward, inshallah, if they are sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them that. And so what is the word imam? Some, you know, like anytime you mention imam in the Arabic language, you also have to, and you know, when you're speaking about something, you give a ta'rif or definition. And so when we're speaking about imam, that leads to prayer, that's what we're speaking about now in this particular chapter. We're not speaking about the imam of, you know, the khilafah or anything like that. We're speaking about the imam that leads to prayer. And some scholars have said, رَبْتُ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَأْمُومِ بِإِمَامِ. They said that, you know, the imam, when we speak about imama, it is to connect the prayer of the ma'mum with his imam, right? With his imam. And this is what we're talking about, the connecting of the prayer of the ma'mum with the imam. So those are the rulings we're talking about when we say al-imama. But some of the scholars have mentioned when you're defining something, you can't use the same word. If you're trying to define what it is, then you can't use the word imam. You have to use something else. In other words, so they said the more proper definition of it, رَبْتُ صَلَاةِ الْمُقْتَدِينَ بِمُقْتَدِينَ بِهِ. So it's a connection of the person who's the following, the person who is leading, to connecting the prayer of the person who's following to the person who's leading, who's leading the people in prayer, who's leading the people in prayer. So that's what we're talking about right now when we're speaking about al-imama. And so Bab al-imama means this is a chapter that we will mention some of the hadith that is connected to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in imama, in being imam and following the imam also. In all the hadith will be related to that. And so being imam, of course, prayer is something that is very, very virtuous. Virtuous, the prayer in and of itself. And one who is leading the people in prayer has the opportunity also to revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you're leading people in prayer, you're reviving. When you're doing it correctly, you have the opportunity to revive the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the greatness of it is, you know, just of course, prayer is in terms of its status a virtue. It is only after the shahadatayn. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Of course, what's one of the pillars of Islam? The first is shahadat an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then the second is iqam as-salah. That means the establishing of the prayer. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. He said, istaqimu wa lan tuhsa. Istaqimu wa lan tuhsa. Istaqimu wa lan tuhsu. Be upright. Istaqimu. Wa'alamu anna khayru a'malikum as-salah. Know that the best of your deeds are the prayers. Know that the best of your deeds are the prayers. So he said, istaqimu. What is istiqama? Al-istiqama comes from the word of qama yaqum. Means to stand up. When you say istiqama, means to stand, to be upright. Just like in the English language, when you say someone's upright, what does that mean? What does it mean when I say someone is upright? When you describe something upright, that means something straight up, standing upright. But when you're describing the character of someone who's upright, that means he's a good person, good in character, he's honest, he's upright. So being upright in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Being upright in is following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And doing so where a person's character, when you say this person is mustaqim, this person is upright, means what? It means, is he good sometimes? And he's bad most of the time? No, it means you say someone, oh, this person is honest. Does that mean he's telling the truth? He tells only the truth only once? If someone tells the truth once only, does he become honest? No, someone who tells the truth consistently, he's always truthful. That's when he has those characteristics. When someone does it just once or twice, they don't earn those characteristics. Someone who tells the truth once or twice, no. Someone who's always telling the truth, that person is considered honest. So when someone is, when someone has al-istiqama, when someone upright, you say, oh, this person is upright. He's upright in character. That's what we mean. That means he's well-rounded good in all areas that is considered praiseworthy in terms of his character. So he's not bad and then he becomes good one time. No. Like generally, of course, nobody is perfect, but this person is upright in character, that means he's consistently good. So when we say istaqimu, the Prophet ﷺ said, istaqimu, be upright. Be upright. Walan tuhsu. Walan tuhsu. The scholars have differed over what this really means. They said, وَلَن تُحْصُوا, you will not be able to enumerate. أَحْصَى يُحْصِي, means count and to enumerate, right? So, استقيموا وَلَن تُحْصُوا, استقيموا وَلَن تُحْصُوا ثواب الاستقامة. That's what some of the scholars mentioned. استقيموا, and you will not be able to enumerate the reward of being upright. Because the reward of being upright is so great that the reward of it, you won't even understand it. You won't even be able to comprehend, to truly comprehend the greatness of the reward of istiqama. And some of the scholars have mentioned istiqimu wa lan tuhsu means be upright, right? Be upright, and you will not be able to do all that which is considered being upright. I mean, all the things that require you to be upright, you won't be able to do all of it. So you do the best that you can with whatever you're able to, which means what? There are so many good deeds, there are so many aspects of being upright that you will not be able to do all of them. you will not be able to do all of them. You will not be able to cover all of the bases, in other words. Okay, when I say being upright, you have to be upright in your prayers, in fasting, in your sunnahs, in your charity, and everything. But you know, not everyone is capable of doing everything. Right? Not everyone is capable, but you will not be able to do everything. But whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up for you, then do the best of that, but do as much of it as you can. So let's say, for example, that's why the shaitan is very deceptive. So I know some sisters, they say that, you know, I want to wear the hijab, but I feel like a hypocrite. I feel like a hypocrite. I put on the hijab, but then, you know, I'm not doing other things. Right? I want to do all of these things first. And then, you know, then I can put on the hijab because especially sisters are not practicing and they become practicing. You look, all the things that you're still doing. You're still listening to music. You're still doing this and you're still doing that. You're a hypocrite if you put on the hijab, trying to show off that you're good now. And so they might say, well, you know, I don't want to put on the hijab yet because look, I feel like a hypocrite. Right? That's from the shaitan. Why? Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a door of good deed, then you do that. Not all the doors will be open for you. You can't do them all. Right? But if Allah makes it easy for you to put hijab, then put on the hijab. You know, don't put on the hijab. Maybe because Allah opens that up and maybe will open up the other ones and you'll be able to change in other aspects. If you're able to do this right now, don't make the other acts as an excuse or justification for you to not put on the hijab. Right? Because there are many things that some people say, well, you know, I don't want to go to the masjid because it seems like I'm a hypocrite because I still do these things. And people are going to think that, you know, I'm all this and all that. No, that's from the shaitan. If Allah opened and made it easy for you to put on the hijab, then put on the hijab. If Allah made it easy for you to go to the masjid, then you go to the masjid. And whatever actions that are difficult for you to do, then you ask Allah for help in those actions later on. But whatever Allah opens for you, and that's why not everyone is good in every aspect. You cannot be perfect. And that's why the doors of paradise are eight. It's not just one door that you enter through paradise. The doors of paradise are eight. Because there are some that love to fast. They fast the month of Ramadan and they fast the sunnah. And then there are some fasting is difficult for them. But you know, Allah has given them other things. So they're very wealthy. They spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if Allah opens for you and it helps you to spend in the path of Allah, then you do of it as much as you can. Then you do of it as much as you can. And if Allah made it easy for you to come to the, you know, to pray your sunnah prayers, all the time you love prayer, then alhamdulillah, that's one of the greatest blessings that a person can have. And then there are some people, they don't do a lot of good deeds. But then they're very kind to other people, doing a lot of like acts of worship. They do just like the, you know, just the bare minimum or a little bit more than that. But then they love to help. They love to volunteer. Like sometimes, you know, during the time, let's say Taraweeh prayer, right? During Taraweeh prayer, there are some people, they can't stand with the imam. It's too difficult for them. It's hard to stand up the whole night for them or the whole prayer. Well, but they want to help. What can they do? Well, you know, the masjid needs people to help with parking. And that's a good deed also. So go help with parking. And inshallah, you'll get the reward of standing in prayer also. And then if Allah opens it up for you to pray more, inshallah, you can go home and pray. But whatever you're able to do, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not make the other deeds that are difficult as an and justification for you not doing a good deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made easy for you. So you have to understand that. And so the Prophet said, Istiqimu wa lan tuhsu. Even have istiqamah, be upright. You're not going to be able to do all of those things. But know, wa'alamu anna khayru a'malikum as-salat. But know that one of the best deeds, one of the best deeds for you are the prayers, the five daily prayers, and the prayers in general. So if, of course, know that the prayer is one of the pillars amongst the pillars of Islam, and thus praying is one of the best deeds, then you want to pray, and not only do you want to pray, you want to perfect your prayer, and you want to maximize the reward of that prayer by also praying in the masjid. Praying in the masjid. And if a person has an opportunity, let's say, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the opportunity to lead the people in prayer and put themselves in that position, that's a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the prayer is something that is very, very virtuous. And to be able to teach people to pray, to be able to lead the people in prayer, it's a very, very virtuous, but the responsibility is also very, very great that a person should try their very best, you know, to follow and learn the rulings related to that. And of course, we know that the prayer, one who prays, the prayer is very, very great, virtuous, but also prayer. Is he okay? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha. Can you hear when we're gonna pause this like a little bit for, we have a medical emergency here.